Ladies and gentlemen, the 2014 Australian of the Year, Adam Goods. Ladies and gentlemen, your Senior Australian of the Year, Fred Chaney, AO.
Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pride to announce that the Australian of the Year for 2009 is Professor Mick Dodson.
It's one of the most significant parts of Australia Day celebrations. On the 25th, we come together as a country to honour the people who make a significant contribution to Australian life and are role models to us Aussies. It even seems to be a tradition pretty unique to us. New Zealand gives out the New Zealander of the Year awards, but it doesn't seem like very many other countries do. Yes, England gives out Queen's Honours and Time magazine gives out their own Person of the Year awards, but they're not really the same thing as Australian of the Year. So where does it come from? It started in Victoria. In 1960, the Victorian Australia Day Council, who wanted to popularise Australia Day as a day to celebrate, announced a new annual award they would be giving out called Australian of the Year. At this point, the award was a way to recognise Australians who made contributions to national culture, economy, science, or arts. The very first winner of the award was Sir Frank McFarlane Burnet, a Melbournian immunologist who also won a Nobel Prize that year. In fact, international achievement was a pretty important criteria for winning the award in the early days. Dawn Fraser and Indigenous boxer Lionel Rose were among the first recipients.
Because I don't think you could ever take away from the fact that you are competing for your country in your first Olympic Games. The atmosphere is entirely different and, you know, the excitement of being chosen to represent your country at the Olympic Games, the greatest sporting event in the world. And it's just all very overpowering and exciting.
But even though the award was hailed by some as a symbol of Australia's growing unity and importance, the award's focus on Victoria was hurting its image. So to remedy that, The Australian, the newspaper, started their own Australian of the Year awards, which they still hand out today. And 1975 saw the establishment of the Canberra Australia Day Council, which handed out its own Australian of the Year awards as well. The Canberran and Victorian Australia Day councils were at odds politically. It was a pretty turbulent time in Australian politics. The Canberran Council was a more progressive body, sympathetic to the growing Republican movement, while the Victorian Council were fierce monarchists. In 1977, the Victoria branch went so far as to name their winner the real Australian of the Year. To end the feud, the Fraser government instated the National Australia Day Council in 1979. The Victorian and Canberran councils agreed to stop giving out their own national awards. The new council put together an independent panel of 10 Aussies from different fields. Former council chairman Philip Adams said that there was usually a two-day board meeting to decide on the winner. There was lots of debate over who should win, and he said that it was like the election of a new pope, in that they would go into conclave, there would be lots of hot air, then a puff of smoke. During the 80s, the council began to choose more popular people to win the awards, like John Farnham and Paul Hogan, to help them promote Australia Day and the award to the mainstream. Of course, this did get some criticism, but overall they achieved their goal of popularising the award, and more people were paying attention.
You don't get to become Australian of the Year just because you can sing, though. It has a lot to do with the kind of leadership you show other people. John Farnham has simple answers to complex questions, answers that young people can understand.
Somebody asked me earlier on what would be my message to Australia, and
You know, I think that's a bit presumptuous of me to give a message to Australia, but I can only say that I would like...
You did a bad job this morning.
Yeah, but it's common sense. That whole thing is common sense to me. If you really sit down and think about it, people are shooting each other, abusing each other and hurting each other in all sorts of ways. If we can stop doing that, we're going to be okay.
The 90s saw more multicultural and Indigenous Australians winning the award. The award was a way to build a national identity. M. Yunipingu, the lead singer of Yothu Yindi, won for his work building bridges between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people. Kathy Freeman won in 1998 for her role in advancing reconciliation.
And I represent a possibility for kids, for all kids, but certainly Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander kids in particular. So,
Yeah. You
know, it's a role pool that I take quite seriously. I'm quite aware of the impact that it kind of generates.
The 90s also saw the introduction of public nominations for the award. Before that, the council found nominees for themselves, but due to a drought of good options, they opened it to the public. These days, the award isn't perfect. In its history, 13 women and 50 men have won it. In 1961, the first winner of the award was referred to by media outlets as Man of the Year. That was never the name of the award, but the following year they were forced to learn the real name when Joan Sutherland won. And if you have a look at what each person won it for, the category that comes out on top the most is sports. And this pattern of giving the award to sports stars has been criticised. But some say that this does a great job at reinforcing sport as an important part of our national identity. The ceremony for the Australians of the Year will be broadcast this Sunday. If the awards are supposed to reflect what we as a country honour in our citizens, it's always interesting to see who the council chooses.